Our scripture today is from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 14. How blessed is God, and what a blessing he is. He's the Father of our Master, Jesus Christ, and takes us to high places of blessing in him. Long before he laid down earth's foundations, he had us in mind. He settled on us as the focus of his love, to be made whole and holy by his love. Long, long ago, he decided to adopt us into his family through Jesus Christ. What a pleasure he took in planning this. He wanted us to enter into the celebration of his lavish gift-giving by the hand of his beloved Son. Because of the sacrifice of the Messiah, his blood poured out on the altar of the cross, we are free people, free of penalties and punishments chalked up by our misdeeds. And not just barely free either, abundantly free. He thought of everything, provided for everything we could possibly need, letting us in on the plans he took such delight in making. He set it all out before us in Christ, a long-range plan in which everything would be brought together and summed up in him, everything in deepest heaven, everything on planet Earth. It's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we are living for. Long before we heard of Christ and got our hopes up, he had his eye on us. He had designs on us for glorious living, part of the overall purpose he is working out in everything and everyone. It's in Christ that you, once you heard the truth and believed it, this message of your salvation, found yourselves home free, signed, sealed, and delivered by the Holy Spirit. This down payment from God is the first installment on what's coming, a reminder that we'll get everything God has planned for us, a praising and glorious life. What better scripture could there be today?
So before I begin the sermon, I want to just give a shout out to Denise, who is here. You've got your walker. I had it 4 weeks ago, girlfriend, and I'm so glad you're here today. And we just want to pray for your continued healing from surgery. I hope it is as successful as mine has been. So blessings to you, my friend. So glad you're here. So a few days ago, I was channel surfing on Hulu, trying to see if anything looked interesting to watch, when I came across a new documentary. The documentary was entitled Bratz. If you were living as a young person or an adult during the 1980s, you might know what it was referring to by its full name, and that is the Brat Pack. The Brat Pack. And I think we need some good slides that I've got for you to see, so you will know that. Anyway, side note, many of us that were living during that time also knew that this was not to be confused with the Rat Pack, right? The famous group of entertainers who made films together and performed on stage in the 50s and the 60s, namely people like Frank Sinatra and Dean Martin and Sammy Davis Jr. and Joey Bishop and Peter Lawford. That's the Rat Pack. Go back to that first slide, if you will. There, that's the Bratz. All right, so great. But so let me get back to this documentary. Unlike the Rat Pack, which was actually celebrated by its group name and membership, the term Brat Pack, coined by journalist David Bloom in a 1985 New York Magazine article featuring Emilio Estevez, was a reference to the hard partying ways and relative lack of professional training of certain young Hollywood stars who'd appeared together on screen in coming-of-age movies like The Breakfast Club, 16 Candles, and St. Elmo's Fire. Andrew McCarthy, who filmed the documentary, was one of these young actors. And Andrew felt that his association with this moniker and its negative baggage took control of the trajectory of his life, both professionally as well as personally. And so Andrew, now 61 years old, spends time in the documentary having conversations with other Brat Packers, Emilio Estevez, Demi Moore, Rob Lowe, Ally Sheedy, along with several others, to see what impact the name Brat Pack had and their identification with it had on their lives. It was a fascinating look at the power of perception of ourselves and of others based on the language and the labels we use. Today, we are going to wrap up our sermon series on Henry Nouwen's book, Life of the Beloved, as we consider how one word can shape our perception about ourselves and others. And that word for today is chosen. Will you join me in prayer? Loving and gracious God, we give you our thanks this day for your calling in our lives. And we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to explore what being chosen in you means. And I pray that as we continue to unpack words of Scripture, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts might be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. For you, O God, are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Now, I want to take a moment to mention that I have purposely used a translation of today's passage that does not use the word chosen, and I want to tell you why. When we use the word chosen, it's often used to suggest that somehow the one who is chosen is better than someone who is not. Right now, we are having the qualifications for the Paris Olympics. I hope you've been watching that. I've been loving watching the swimming trials. But this is where some are qualifying to compete while others are not. So that based on their performance, they are chosen. But when we read our text today from the letter to the Ephesians, we see something very different. So I want to invite you to look with me again at verses 3 and 4, but I'm going to begin by reading it the way most translations read. So just take a look up on the screen. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For God chose us in Christ before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love. Now, look with me again at the Message translation that's in your bulletin, which says it this way. How blessed is God? And what a blessing God is. He's the Father of our Master, Jesus Christ, and takes us to the high places of blessings in him. Long before God laid down earth's foundations, God had us in mind and settled on us as the focus of God's love. Now, did you hear that? Before anybody, any one of us showed up on planet Earth, before there were even human beings created, God had us in mind, the writer of Ephesians says, and God settled on us as the focus of God's love. Not just some of us, all of us. We are chosen by God to be the focus of God's love. We are the beloved of God. We are precious to God. We are held by God even before we breathed our first breath, before we did a single thing. Now, let me say this. In a time when we are so keenly aware of differences, in a time when we are divided based on the names and labels that we label each other with, this is a powerful reminder that difference isn't a bad thing. No, it is a beautiful thing that God's very intention and design have been made visible. Biblical scholar Susan Halen says that Ephesians is a letter about living together in the midst of human differences. The Jewish author writes to a largely Gentile audience with the message that in Christ, God has made both groups, Gentiles and Jews, into one and has broken down the dividing wall, that is the hostility between us. And this living together is hard work. It is spiritual work that requires, as he says in Ephesians chapter 4, it requires humility, gentleness, and patience. Chosen. Henry Nouwen writes, long before your parents admired you or your friends acknowledged your gifts or your teachers, colleagues, and employers encouraged you, you were already chosen. God's eyes of love have seen you as precious, as of infinite beauty, as of eternal value. And when love chooses, it chooses with a perfect sensitivity for the unique beauty of the chosen one. And it chooses without making anyone else feel excluded. Nouwen goes on to say that this is a great spiritual mystery, that God chose us, and not just some of us, God settled on all of us as the focus of God's love. To be chosen as the beloved of God is something radically different than the way we think about being chosen. Instead of excluding others, it includes others. Instead of rejecting others as less valuable, it accepts others as their own in their own uniqueness. To be chosen by God is not competitive, but a compassionate choice. And this is what I want you to hear this morning. When you and I refuse to surrender the word chosen to the world and instead embrace it as God's gift, we have the opportunity to see ourselves and each other differently. But make no mistake about it, this is not easy. It is a real spiritual struggle in the world in which we live today, where culture wars and identity politics so often play a mean-spirited role in how we see and treat each other. So how is it possible to get free to embrace, truly embrace, God's chosenness of us? Henry Nouwen offers three guidelines that will help us to get to freedom. The first, he says, is you have to keep unmasking the world about you for what it is: manipulating, controlling, power-hungry, and in the long run, destructive. The world, he says, tells us so many lies about who we are, and we need to identify them as lies. So every time you feel hurt or offended or rejected, you have to dare to say to yourself, these feelings, as strong as they may be, are not telling me the truth about myself. The truth, even if I don't feel it right now, is that I am a chosen child of God, precious in God's eyes, called the beloved from all eternity, and held safe in God's everlasting embrace. Do not believe the lie. Instead, believe God's truth about yourself and about others. Second, you have to keep looking for someone, for people and places where the truth is spoken, and where you are reminded of your deepest identity as God's chosen one. This is one of the important reasons that we at Florence Christian Church have an identity statement, so that nobody, there is no doubt in anyone's mind that they are everyone chosen and beloved by God, made in diversity and in uniqueness for love. We gather together to remind and to be reminded of this truth, that before the very foundations of the earth, God had us in mind, and God settled on us and chose us as the focus of God's love. As Hebrews 10 reminds us, do not neglect the meeting of yourselves together, as is the habit of some, but encourage one another to gather, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Third, we need to celebrate our chosenness continually. And how do we do that? Well, We say thank you. We say thank you, God, with our thoughts, with our prayers, with our words, with our actions. Gratitude is the most fruitful way of deepening our awareness that we are not here by accident. We are here by divine choice. And speaking of choice, gratitude is a choice we get to make. We get to choose gratitude that we are chosen by God. And when you and I keep claiming that light and that truth, we will find ourselves becoming more and more radiant with the light of God. Every time we decide to be grateful, it is easier to see new things for which we can be grateful. Now it reminds us that gratitude begets gratitude, just as love begets love. You can't outgive God gratitude. Amen? Amen. So these three guidelines, to believe God's truth rather than the world's lies, to gather with others committed to the truth, and to practice gratitude constantly, these are the spiritual disciplines for our lives as the chosen, beloved children of God. And these spiritual disciplines are hard, and they take lots of time to develop, in fact, a lifetime to develop, especially as we practice them in our relationships with others. And all that brings me back to Andrew McCarthy and the brats. Because what started out as Andrew's own feeling of victimhood, of being labeled in such a derogatory way, became re-examined and transformed as he spoke with his fellow brats after more than 30 years of isolation, silence, and pain. As he was speaking with Demi Moore, I was amazed by her maturity and growth. She's done the work, y'all. Y'all should watch it. It's amazing. After Andrew said that he had allowed the Brat Pack moniker to shape me for 30 plus years, she responded, "I did not accept that. I am not that. It was an againstness to us. But againstness only provokes more againstness." Truth. And so she said, when we hold things that way, we create that pattern and we get stuck. The event is the event. What we make it mean is the value that it all of a sudden has. That was an aha moment for Andrew. And several very important new insights were offered as he had more conversations with his peers. And with that, Andrew had another epiphany. He said, "This is why we need community, because knowing that everyone else went through the same thing somehow is, you know, good." Good, why? Because Andrew needed to learn that staying stuck in a lie is not what brings life. And it was then that Andrew did something very courageous, in my opinion. He met with the journalist responsible for the Brat Pack label in the first place. Never met him before, David Bloom. And at first I wondered how the encounter would turn out because of all that pain that Andrew had been carrying with him for decades. I wondered when David Bloom said, for example, that he had nothing to apologize for, that it really wasn't a big deal, that it was just a joke. I wondered if Andrew was going to punch him in the nose. But there they were, talking honestly and listening to each other and not judging each other. And by the end of their conversation together, these two people got up and they embraced one another. And there it was. The chosenness coming out, the focus of the kind of love that can only emanate from God's own heart. Nouwen writes, "God's love is a love that includes all people, each one in his or her own uniqueness. And it is only when we have claimed our own place in God's love that we can experience this all-embracing, non-comparing love and feel safe, not only with God, but also with all of our brothers and sisters." And this is the word we need to hear today. Amen? Don't we all need that truth to sink deep within our souls? Not to place our value or lack of value on the number of likes or comments on our social media feeds, not on what others may say about us, but on the truth of God's choosing us before we ever said or did a thing. We need this right now to stop the madness that leads to dissension and brokenness and violence. You have been chosen. So choose your chosenness as God's beloved. Choose to embrace the truth that you and all of those both alike and different from you are chosen and beloved by God. It is a lifelong endeavor. I'm still trying to do it, y'all. And it's a challenge to claim that chosenness. But Henry Nouwen says it is also a lifelong joy. And here's the thing. The more fully we claim that truth, the more easily we will also discover the blessedness, the preciousness, even as we embrace our brokenness, because it's covered with the blessing of God's love and grace. A few days ago, Pastor Melissa and I had a meeting for our quarterly check-in, and this is what we do every few months. We get together and we talk about what's happened in our lives and ministries and kind of the goals for the future. And as we were closing the meeting and we were standing and joining hands in prayer, Melissa looked at me and she said, eyes filled with tears, and she said, I just want to hear God say one day, well done, good and faithful servant. And with my own tears of gratitude, I responded and said, Melissa, God has already, before the very foundation of the earth, said those words to you. Before you did a thing, Melissa Stevens, God said, you are my beloved. In you, I am well pleased. Maybe so for you today. Maybe so for you tomorrow and the next day and the next and the next and the next. As we remember the call to embrace the truth, not the lie, to join together and gather with people who will affirm that truth, and to constantly say, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you. Maybe so. And the people of God said, amen, amen. And amen. Amen.